Welcome to Nairobi Chapel Embakasi. We grow deep to reach wide.
What does Easter mean to the past? Everyone will answer. So it starts at the back. Today, we finish up with Brian. Yes. What does Easter mean to you?
Easter meaning the day of the coming of Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, his death, and his resurrection, and his ascension. Yes, that is in Matthew 8 where he said that he is risen. So I believe Jesus Christ is risen, is alive. So that's why I celebrate Easter. Amen.
That's a good one. Next, Pastor. Every answer is different. That is a good about church questions.
For me, it's a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if you're going to be there.
Next.
For me, Easter means Jesus is resurrected. He was over there, so it's nothing that you can't do.
And we finish up with
this.
Okay. Nice. Now, I have the sermon. Thank you guys for giving me the sermon. So, whatever you've seen is what Easter means to each and everyone. And I just want to start us by going to John chapter 8. So John chapter 8, verse 1 to 11. I'm just actually reading about the woman who was found being adultery. And no, it amazes so many people. When people are bringing this woman to Jesus, and tells Jesus, this woman has done sin. And when Jesus, tells them, was Akute Arushima to be the first person to throw a stone at this woman. And everyone is like, now that's the time you come and start thinking about your life. You remember, hey, I've done something in the past, I can't do it. Now everyone draws Jesus' life to this woman. And Alex, as we read, verse 1, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came into the temple, and all the people were coming to him. He sat and began teaching them. Now the scribes and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. They made her stand in the center of the court, and they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. And now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. So what do you say?" They said this to test him, hoping that they would have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and began writing on the ground with his finger. However, when they were persistently questioning him, he straightened up and said, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he stooped down again, started writing on the ground. They listened, and they began to go out one by one, starting with the oldest ones, until he was left alone with the woman in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one." Jesus said, "I either condemn you. Go from now and say no more." And you know that is what later came. You know, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And my topic for this sermon is free indeed. You know, every time you come in the presence of the Lord, you start reflecting about, you know, throughout the week. And even before you come to church, there are so many things you've gone through throughout the week. And you're asking the Lord, "Am I even worthy to go to the house? You know, to go and sit down in church and listen? Maybe you are tired in your body." But you know what the Lord says? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Jesus came to die for my sins, your sins, that we may have freedom. And you know, the reason I picked this story, it's because, you know, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were here to test Jesus. If Jesus really came, he's the Son of God. You know, when you say you're the Son of a supreme being, people expect you can do everything. They expect that Jesus can, you know, just tell this mountain, "Go and go." You know, they expected Jesus to just say this one, "You're forgiven." And this is what happened. When they brought this woman to Jesus, they wanted first to what I was just meditating on, that word. First, there are those who wanted to solve this woman. And there are others, maybe they were following just to see how Jesus would react. And you know, Jesus reacted by saying, "That one person who has no sin, let him be the first person to throw a stone at this woman." And Jesus asked this woman, when everyone was left and everything, he asked this woman, "Where are your accusers? Where is that person who's the group of people who have come to accuse you?" And Jesus told this woman, "I do not condemn you either. Go from now and say no more." And as I was just reading that text, this reminds me the power that is in the blood of Jesus, that we are able to be reconciled back to the Father. Just compare your life when you, before getting born again and when you got born again. There's a huge difference. Before you got born again, just live life normal. You didn't care about anything. Even maybe you went to church, but you are not born again. So at that point, maybe you never cared about prayer, never cared about reading the Word of God, you never cared about fellowship. But after getting born again, the Father, you'll be reconciled back to the Father. that you're able to embrace fellowship, sound doctrine, prayer. And what does the what it say about prayer? It says, pray without ceasing. And also the same word says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that is what, you know, being born again means. It means that when you're praying through the Father, through Jesus, because Jesus says, He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When you're praying through Jesus, that is the correct channel to channel your prayers to the Father. Because when Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the body? It was torn apart. And, you know, the access, you know, to the Holy of Holies, we're able to gain access to the Father through Jesus Christ. And the word says that we have been given a name above every other name. The name Jesus. And you know, there's a part that says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess He is the Lord. Amen. Amen. And also about freedom, there's something Jesus said about freedom. In the same chapter, in verse 32, what does the Bible say? And you will know the truth. And I'm reading from the Amplified. It says, regarding salvation, the truth in regards to salvation, and the truth will set you free. And that verse, it says, being set free, you're being set free from the penalty of sin. What does the word say about the wages of sin? It's death. And what is the wages of the other part? It says, but sorry, and the gift of God is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, eternal life. That is what Jesus came to give us, eternal life. And you know, God is calling us to a place of knowing the truth. What is the truth? When you read through the Word of God, the Bible says, like, when you're reading the Word of God, it's like a mirror. You behold your face. You can see your life through the Word of God. There is a question I have for you, and I found it interesting. The question was, which Bible character are you in this season? When you look through Genesis to Revelation, are you John? Are you Peter? You know, sometimes we are Peter in our lives. You know, sometimes you are in a position where you're fixed. You know, Peter was fixed because, you know, when they were taking the feast, the last supper, you know, Jesus tells this man, among you, there's someone who will deny you. Peter is like, me, Christ, I can't. You know, and I just saw a meme and I found it interesting. You know, the kid was like, me? No, I can't. And then the other part, when Jesus, when people are saying, you know, you walk like Jesus, you talk like Jesus, you are with Jesus, and Peter says, no. Until the third time when the cock crowed, and Peter was like, and Jesus said, Jesus had told him that you deny him. Are you Peter in your life? Are you John in your life? Are you even Jesus? You know, sometimes you can relate with the life of Jesus. Sometimes you can relate with Jonah. Sometimes you can relate with Isaac. And the word of the Lord is like a mirror. You're just looking at it and you can see your life. And the word of God, it is for you. It can edify you. Where you're going wrong, you know the word of God can tell you this is the way. Because the same word says, in the beginning there was the word, and the word was of God, and the word was God, and it was there in the beginning. So the word of the Lord is the truth. And how can the word of the Lord set you free? How can the word of the Lord set you free? How can it set you free? As you read through the word of God, you can really seek solutions for the problems you have. Maybe you have a problem in your life. You're facing a challenge in your life. The word of the Lord can, you know, God can really come talk to you through the word and tell you. Maybe you're going through lack, you're going through a difficult situation. It can really comfort you. It can really, you know, give you a way and tell you, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. Because look at the paths there. They never sow, no, you know, they don't plant. But every day, God provides for them. How much more for they that love the Lord? Amen. And then as I wind up, let's go to Colossians chapter 2, verse 15. Let's start from verse 11. The Bible says, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith, the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against you, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it on his cross. And 15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Amen. And that is what happened when Jesus was nailed on the cross. What is there is, it's like when he was put on the cross, died, resurrected. The word says when someone is baptized, you know, they are kept in water. And again, that symbolizes being buried. And again, you rise up again through faith. You don't have to die in physical death, and then on the third day you rise again. No. The baptism, it symbolizes being dead and alive again in faith. And that death means you die in your sins, and then again, when you rise up, you become alive. God forgives all your sins. And 14 it says, he wrapped everything, blotting out every handwriting. Imagine when you go to court, you know, there are those court papers and everything, every accusation is written down. Imagine Christ on that cross. You know, he said, whatever you did, from the day you were born till now, I have forgiven you. That is the power of the cross. And that says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them. He defeated death. He made victory over death. That's why today we can say, death could not hold Jesus down. He has the victory. Amen. And even as we're going to just finish up with right now, I'd like us to just think about how the cross has an impact in our lives. Now, since the day you were born up to now, how has the cross been, you know, of importance? Maybe you can say, you know, this is something that you did so many years ago, and you can see the freedom that you have right now. How has the cross been of importance in your life? What is the importance of the cross in a Christian, in the life of a Christian? Amen. And let's bow our heads. Just think about Christ dying for your sins. Think about on that day when Christ was crucified. The same day, you know, he was taken to the tomb, and on that day, you know, the people were coming and they were looking for Jesus. And I really asked myself, were they looking for a dead? Were they looking for Jesus when he died, or they were looking for Jesus who was risen? And on that day, there was someone who went to the tomb and they never found. But the angel of the Lord said, the one you're looking, he is alive. He has risen. You know, God tell the disciples that Jesus, he has risen. And today, I'd like just to add that the things of life, everything that you're going through, Jesus says, everything is finished. Are you looking for deliverance? He already delivered you. Are you looking for forgiveness? Jesus already forgave you. He already forgave us. Just think about the cross. In just 1 minute, think about the cross. And anything that you need God to do for you, take it to prayer.
Join us every Sunday from 11 a.m. at Trubani House off Airport North Road. Have a blessed week.